Well, hello, podcasters. We've got a great show for you today. Are we going to war with Iran? Rashida Tlaib had some great things to say about the Holocaust. She just warms her heart whenever she thinks about it. Incredible. Also, sex strike? Yes. Bette Midler's not going to have sex. And she's serious about it. So sorry to break that to you. The Democratic candidates had a very interesting weekend. We get into that. Some disturbing numbers about how we view each other. 20% of both Republicans and Democrats say the other side don't have the qualities that qualify them as human. Some disturbing stuff on that, and some great news about the progress that the world has made because of the free market from 2000 until today, turn of this last century. You're not going to believe it, and no one is talking about it except today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, let me tell you about Home Title Lock. It's our sponsor this half hour. Home Title Lock is really the something that we never even thought of, that somebody could steal your home by stealing your title. And that's what's happening now. And nobody knows about it. They say in New York it was, what was it they said in New York?
It was an epidemic.
Epidemic, yeah. In New York. And there's only one company that can stand against this and that's HomeTitleLock.com. This is, it's like $3 a month or something like that to make sure that you're covered. It is so critical that you cover yourself. This is something you're never going to be able to find out on your own. Home Title Lock is the company to do it. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. HomeTitleLock.com. Wow. So now Georgia signed in, of course, the heartbeat bill, which outlaws abortion in Georgia. Once in the ultrasound detects an unborn child's heartbeat. Now,
how hateful is that?
I know. A clump of cells or a clump of skin or a tumor doesn't have a heartbeat, but a child does. And so Milano has come out and said, our reproductive rights are being erased. No, you can reproduce. You cannot reproduce. You can reproduce or not reproduce. You can do that. You just can't kill children along the way. How hard is that? She said, until women have legal control over their own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. So join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. I'm calling for a sex strike. Pass it on.
I know. I mean, I don't want to insult these women, but no one cares about your bodies. You can do whatever you want with your bodies. You can do whatever. We allow you to do all sorts of weird stuff. We allow you to have plastic surgery to make you look like a cat. That is something that is allowed in our society. You can put horns, artificial horns, on the top of your head so you can be
nobody cares.
A devil or a unicorn or whatever you like.
You can pierce every inch of your body.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can have a sex change. You can take your body and so mutilate it that you are no longer the gender that you were born as.
We're pretty cool with all of it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
you just can't
do it to someone. And this is what we say, the same thing about sex changes. You just can't do it to someone who is not of age to make the decision. That's it. I mean, like, really, at that point, we think there's a problem with it. You should have another person. You shouldn't be able to force your will on another person who can't make the decision for themselves. And someone who is maybe 7 months into the process of pregnancy and is not yet born, but still very much alive and could be born, that person should be able to make their choice about whether they want to live or not.
Let me say something really controversial here. I think, maybe not. I am for end-of-life decisions. I am not for doctor-assisted, but I am for end-of-life decisions. If you are in so much pain, you're just like, I can't do this anymore. I believe it is your right to do it. I don't think it's right. I don't recommend it. But it is your right to kill yourself, I believe. With that being said, it's not your right to kill something that you are growing inside of you.
It's 100% about the other person.
Yes.
You just can't make decisions for other people. And they keep complaining. It's like, well, they won't even know if they're pregnant or not. Well, I mean, that's probably a great time. I always thought that it would be a rational debate in this country if the crazy left-wing position was the morning after pill. Right? Like, if this debate, and like, Republicans were saying, you know what, no abortion, and Democrats were saying, you know what, there should be a morning after pill, and you should be able to have that. So if you have a night where you did something that you regret and you're worried about it, you should be able, before you even know that you're pregnant, to take this pill and then end it, and we'll never even know.
Correct.
Again, like, that doesn't make me excited about the thing, but the idea that the debate instead is happening at, I don't know, let's see, 5 minutes before birth or 5 minutes after? When should we allow this to go to? And that is seemingly the debate. It's terrifying. I mean, at least if you had an idea that it was like, okay, you could take it.
If it was safe, rare, and legal, even.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? It's safe, rare, and legal. That was saying, look, this is a tragic, tragic choice that some people have to make. But safe, rare, and legal is not like, hey, this is the way I do birth control.
No.
Yeah, I got an off another one. I celebrate and shout my abortion.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my favorite abortion. That's psychotic behavior.
Yeah. I mean, the Republican position right now is essentially, let's go back to mildly close to Roe versus Wade. There was like, oh, you're going to try to overturn Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is a conservative dream right now compared to what we have.
Yeah.
Roe versus Wade basically said first trimester. I mean, you could get it in second trimester, but it could be regulated in the second trimester, and it could be completely outlawed in the third trimester. That's Roe versus Wade. We've moved so far from that to where we are now. I mean, you talk about a hardcore right wing shift in reverse while going 70 miles an hour in one direction. That would be going back to Roe versus Wade right now. We're not even close to it. And I mean,
it is amazing. Did you see all of the things that came out this weekend about the Democrats and what they're now saying on the road? They're now saying, what was it, Beto? You know what? If I had the power, I'd absolutely get rid of all the guns. I mean, what?
Yeah, what happened to?
We're
strong believers of the Second Amendment, and we care about. I'm a gun owner. I've seen a gun before. There's been a gun in a restaurant I went to on the wall. I mean, that's me. I'm basically Mr. Gun.
Let me tell you, I'm practically the NRA myself. I love guns. I remember my father watching, I think it was Gunsmoke on television. I mean, so I have that part of my heritage as well. I understand it.
We're just looking for common sense measures, and let me tell you about it. You know, let me trot out about five victims' families right now to make you cry, and hopefully it will make you so emotional you'll change your mind and then forget that I even said any of this. That's basically where they are. And now all of a sudden they're admitting it.
Oh, now they are admitting it.
And they've gone all the way to the level of restricting sex from Alyssa Milano.
What's the problem with that?
And Bette Midler. Now you might say sex with Alyssa Milano. I mean, there was at least a time in which people were interested in such things. The Bette Midler thing, I don't even think there was a year of all years that people were like, please, no. Don't restrict the Bette Midler sex. That's a top of my priority list.
Okay,
there was never a moment by any person in human history where they were like, but what about my Bette Midler sex?
So she says our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we can't risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get our bodily autonomy back.
Oh, man.
Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. So your solution here is abstinence because you can't kill your baby. That's a crazy idea.
Aren't they just executing bodily control? They're by not having sex, they're actually executing the thing that they say they don't have, which is autonomy over their bodies.
Yes.
They're saying we're not going to have sex.
Yes.
Like, so they're actually doing the thing they say they don't have to prove they don't have it.
Yeah. And it's very feminist. It's very feminist to bribe men with sex.
for things that you
for
want.
For things that you
it's
want.
So feminist.
It's so feminist.
That's a great point.
It is really. I mean, she
we'll
is.
We'll give you the sex when you do what we want. That's there's a word for that.
Yeah.
There's a word for that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so if you were thinking about Bette Midler and you're like, this is my week. I got a shot at Bette Midler.
I thought this was going to be the week. Yeah. I thought this was the chance that I had her. And then here it is. No.
Sorry. I hate to start your Monday with
that. Well, I will say the upside of, we don't know. We could go to the Supreme Court. We don't know what this law in Georgia. It may never save one baby's life, but at least it's doing this. It's giving the world a break from Bette Midler sex for at least some period of time.
All right. Our sponsor this half hour, whoever the man in her life is, like, oh, God,
yes!
Thank you. Thank you.
He's secretly like giving money to pro-life causes all around America.
I hear her footsteps coming towards the bedroom, and I'm like, no, not tonight. Please, not tonight. I'm sleeping. All right. Anyway.
The best of the Glenn Beck program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
So, how was your Mother's Day weekend?
It was nice.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was very nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Yours as well, I assume?
I'm not a mother, so thank you for asking. That's a weird question to ask another
it's
man.
It's the same question, however, you asked me.
Well, just because you didn't mind it doesn't mean I can't.
I caught some Game of Thrones.
You did.
Yeah, last night's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard one. I'm going to have to edit a little bit, I think. I have to look at it because you don't want to give any spoilers. And last night was an incredible episode.
There was probably a lot of spoilers in there. Luckily, I don't know what any of them are. But that is a thing I could
I'm going to make sure somebody looks over your script that watches it to make sure there's no spoilers in it. This is it. There's one more episode and I'm gone. I'm up in the mountains without television.
For the final episode?
Yeah.
That's cuz you're gone next week.
Yes. I'm gone next week.
Yeah. That's true. That's a big issue. Maybe we can that will give people enough time to catch up and we can do the final episode discussion when you come back maybe. That's at least one option. Can I tell you one little parenting thing that happened to me this weekend?
Yeah.
So when my kids were born, I decided to, I can't remember where I got this idea, but somebody, where I decided to start an email address for them. For each one of them gets an email address. And then I send them emails. I've been sending them emails since birth.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Little things and notes.
And they don't know it.
They don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so little things, you know, I notice or, you know, little cool moments that we had, I'll throw a picture in there, a little piece of advice that maybe I think up, I'll toss it in there. And so they were these like Yahoo email addresses I started up, you know, 7 years ago. And so I've been emailing. It's not like constant. It's not like 10 a day.
It's really cool.
I like it because I think at some point they're going to be able to open it up and see all these things.
Oh,
and
no, that's really cool.
That's cool. Well, it was cool until last night. When I got an email back from Yahoo hey, because I sent a little video of us together to one of the email addresses, and they had it back, and it bounced back. And I was like, why did that bounce? So I signed into it. No emails in there. It's just all
you're
been
kidding
erased.
Kidding me.
All been erased. And
because it wasn't accessed enough?
I don't know. I looked all over to try to find them giving me an alert of this, and I'll go into the email address every couple months just to make sure that it's active and make sure that I send emails so that it's active, it's still getting them. I mean, there's no spam or anything in there. It's just all my emails of all these moments. And so I went in and both email addresses are completely empty now. And I am like losing my mind in panic. I'm hoping there's some way that can be recovered.
A, you should have gone with the glennbeck.com address.
Well,
I mean, we wouldn't have. That's true. We wouldn't have done that to you. No. At least I would have done it to you had you not paid
me.
You
would be holding my child,
yes,
my kids' children
I would
hostage.
Be. I would be.
Which
like,
is why.
Hey, I've got to get rid of this space. I could keep them, I guess. What's it worth to you?
I mean, I guess I
sex sh- with Bette Midler?
Right. I guess I should have gone with, I don't know, Gmail or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just a quirk and I'm going to be able to figure it out.
Oh, my gosh. You have to call. Let's follow this.
I am in panic.
I will
over
tell
this.
You, this is my greatest fear on pictures. First of all, none of the pictures we have, you know, occasionally we will get, you know, the thing where I think Twitter does this, where you can tweet pictures and then they make a book out of it. And you can also mm-hmm. send stuff. But we dump all of our pictures onto our computer.
Yeah.
And we have tens of thousands of them. We have the opposite problem that we had when I was growing up. You know, I was a third child, so it was like, no pictures of me. Right. You know, it's like, yeah, here you are. You were born. Here's your first birthday. Here you are in graduation.
Right.
You know, it's like, wait, what happened to my life? Now it's everything. Practically every food at every, you know, restaurant. You know, here's a picture of the menu. Here's the picture of the food. Here's the actual food and the picture of the food. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much stuff we have. But at any time, if, you know, the cloud goes down, or if you don't even have it on the cloud, if you have it on your computer, we have one computer, one hard drive, that the computer went down. So we assume that the pictures are still on there. We're lugging around this old computer because we hope that pictures are still on it. And that's my worst nightmare is something happens and it's all gone.
And I've had that problem too with the cloud, with the cloud service. I'd signed up and paid all this money over these years to do all the cloud service from all these old computers. And then one day I go on there and it won't give me any access to it.
Did you get it back?
And no.
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
Oh, no, no. What they did is they decided to charge my credit card for the year. When I had done like 10 years, I've been on this thing. And they decided to do it for a year. And because my credit card number changed, they sent me like two alerts that said, hey, your thing isn't processing. They went into my spam, and then they just deleted it all. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is like, I have no way of, it's terrifying.
You wrecked my vacation, because now all I'm going to be thinking about is I got to
digital backup.
Yeah, I got a digital backup, everything, and then I've got to, in case there's an EMP, now I've got to print it out and put it into a vault in the ground.
Let's make Faraday cages all
vacation.
Thank
you. Thank you for that.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. We have our head researcher and military expert, I guess. What do we call you, an expert now at this point? You have grown so much. You were in military intelligence, but your knowledge of the world in the last 3 years, Jason, is remarkable how much you know.
It's a polite way to say I'm a big nerd.
Yeah, you are.
Or you were really stupid before. Yeah. One of the two.
No, you were really sharp before. You were the guy who helped figure out what was going on with Benghazi.
Right.
Two days after Benghazi happened, we had that thing nailed. And Jason played a big role in that.
And one thing about that, just to revisit it, the accolades that have rolled in over that. I mean, just what? Wow, it's just been overwhelming.
It really
all
has.
The media praise for getting that whole situation right at the beginning. You guys have really just swam in that, marinated in it for a few years now.
We really kind of coasting after that, you know, just living off of that crown. nobody even recognized it, but nailed it exactly what happened. The United States has received intelligence indicating that Iran was preparing to attack U.S. interests or allies in the Middle East. Last week, we told you that they were going to dispatch a battle group to the Persian Gulf. They moved a Patriot missile battery and a squadron of B-52 bombers. And then, late last week, Iran threatened to begin enriching uranium. Over the weekend, yesterday, two Saudi oil tankers were attacked in, quote, an act of sabotage near the Persian Gulf. Saudis have not said who's responsible. This could be either because we don't know or they are restraining due to U.S. pressure. But if the Saudis finger Iran, tensions are going to start to spiral out of control. What are we headed for, Jason?
I think what's interesting is I think H.R. McMaster said it best, especially in that area, but pretty much this is true all over the world. But he said there's two ways to fight the United States right now. One is asymmetrically, you know, via cyber attack, via terrorism, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the second way is stupidly or stupid. This force on force, military on military, they cannot match us. No one can. No one in the world
said
can.
This weekend, the grand poobah or whatever came out and said, there's no match with us in the United States. We will win.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, wait, no, did we say that? No, my gosh, they said that. I couldn't believe that's what they said.
Insane. Well, the threats that they were making towards, I'm just guessing here, but the intelligence we got were probably these asymmetric attacks, mm-hmm. terrorism, Hezbollah.
Yeah.
They can launch these all over the world. A report came out that I think you were talking about maybe last week about Hezbollah presence in Venezuela, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
They are everywhere.
Hezbollah, this is really important. Hezbollah is one of Maduro's main guys, is a Hezbollah guy, and he has been allowing extremists to come in from the Middle East and train and be there in Venezuela. We also know that there was another terrorist training camp like the one in New Mexico that was found in, where was that, Alabama this weekend? They're here. We know this, and it only makes sense when you have a million plus people coming into the border right now, coming in over our border. We know that Hezbollah or Hamas has got to be in the numbers of those who have crossed our border. So we don't know what they're planning, but I will guarantee you that there are people here from that are under Iranian orders.
Radical Islamists, kind of sounds like you're saying radical Islamists and socialists would work together, and that would cascade, and that, you know,
would, it would finally come here to the United States.
Help destabilize.
Yeah, I know. That's another one we've lived off of. The accolades just keep coming in for that one too.
It was the third parade was a little much for you guys.
Right.
I mean, that's all right.
I thought the ticker tape parade was nice.
The first one.
Yeah.
But I mean, it gets old after a while.
It does.
Just a lot of cleanup at that point.
The Iranian thing, I think, is going to continue. I think there's going to be a lot of dog barking that's going to continue. I do not see a full on like military, you know, engagement.
I will tell you, they're desperate. They are desperate. We have, because Donald Trump has taken the lead on this, he has crippled their economy. He has taken their, what is it, the yak or whatever they're using over there.
Yes, it's the yak.
The yak.
The real.
Yeah, the real. He has collapsed their monetary system, collapsed it. It went down by, what, 74%?
Yeah.
As soon as we applied the sanctions, and it's not getting better.
Those went back in November, and that's only going to get worse. The Trump administration put waivers on, I think, 8 countries that were still receiving Iranian oil.
Right.
He just announced last week, coincidentally, when all these tensions started to ramp up,
right.
He said those are going away. Now, for the past 2 years, the European Union have been telling Iran, no, I don't do anything. Trump is going to be out. You know, there's going to be a new president.
He's a one-termer.
And not only the European Union, but John Kerry, for crying out loud, has been over there telling the Iranians the same thing.
Right.
He's been colluding with the Iranians to say, look, don't worry about it. Keep everything in check. We're going to get a new administration in there. We're going to do it a different way.
It's crazy.
Absolutely insane. But this is exactly what they would have. This is where they would have been if we wouldn't have had the disastrous Iran deal.
Yes.
Severe recession, a collapsing economy, their currency in free fall. They are going to be forced to the table. We don't have to give them all this stuff. We don't have to legitimize their nuclear program and set them up in another few years to be able to make nuclear weapons anyway, which is exactly what it did. We didn't have to do those things. They were already at the negotiating table on their knees.
Here's the thing, and I said this in 2005 about Iran and South Korea. And I said, South Korea is going to happen first, but we've got to get to South Korea and be tough right now. Because once they have nuclear weapons, there's only so much you can do. You can't be as tough. And look at it. What are we going to do about South Korea or North Korea? Nothing. We have nothing we can do because all options at this point are horrific. You cannot allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon because once they do, you have no more good options left. You're always left with do nothing or possibly engage in a nuclear war. You can't do that. Now is the time. And once they get this weapon, it's too late. You've got to be tough on sanctions and do everything you can to collapse them. Look, the people want it. The people there, this is not Iraq. Iran, the people, it's different. Those people are different than the people were in Iraq. And you have a chance because the people want revolution, but they want a stabilized, more westernized state. Iran was a westernized state. It was a successful state. It was, you know, had bad leadership, but it was a successful state. They have experience having that kind of rule.
The most people point to ISIS as having the first caliphate type country or, you know, terrorist, you know, Islamist state. It was Iran. Iran was taken over by Islamists and terrorists run that country. And if you want to find out, like, if you want to take them at their word, they say they want to destroy the state and the nation of Israel. They are surrounding the nation of Israel. You can't think in conventional terms with a country like that.
And they're behind the attacks on Israel. Do you believe the intelligence we got on an attack on us, our assets, or one of our allies? Do you think it was on us, or do you think it was Iran? Or, I mean, Israel.
I think it was probably both. That coincided right with the flare-ups in Gaza.
Yeah.
Exactly the same time that all that started. And again, it started with an Iranian-funded group, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They are the ones that kicked it off by firing at Israeli soldiers.
And the two oil tankers that were blown up or had sabotage happen to them, they were both on the way to the United States.
Yeah.
So they are trying to cripple our economy. As well, and that fits right with the intelligence as well. That's an American asset on its way over here to the United States. Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate it.
You bet.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Thank you for...
Because this is asking. The theme song. If you don't know, this is the exact theme song from the episode.
No, this is not. This is like some 13-year-old, with their phone playing the theme song.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one more episode after this, right? This is the second to last episode.
This is it.
I've only seen three episodes of the show, so I don't know a lot about the show.
Yeah.
But this is what I learned from this most recent episode.
Indeed.
And I think I missed the last week's episode. However, it's possible the theme song was just so long that I just joined it right after last week's episode's theme song ended.
Right, okay.
So I don't know. Maybe I didn't miss one.
All right.
So Uncle Fester is a new character that joined this week.
Not Uncle Fester, but...
He looks just like Uncle Fester.
And he's been there since the beginning.
I've never seen him before.
Okay.
But he was writing a letter.
You weren't looking.
We learned that the angry elf is still alive, which is good, because I missed last week's episode. Uncle Fester and Jon Snow, who's a name I actually know now. I used to call him, I think, Goatee Guy.
Yes.
He's now Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the spoilers?
No, that was last time. I learned
that last
time.
All right, okay.
They're saying the queen doesn't want to eat and shouldn't be left alone. Which could be an anorexia thing. I don't know exactly
what's
going on.
You know which
queen? The Blondie, I think.
The Blondie.
I think Queen Blondie.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And Jon Snow apparently does not want to be king, which is something I learned here.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Blondie, though, a nice open-air balcony with a sweet view. I mean, I don't know.
Queen Blondie.
She's living in a place. It's like a loft of some sort. It's beautiful. Overlooks the entire mountain situation. It's very nice. Probably very expensive real estate.
So that's Queen Blondie from last night?
I think so.
Okay,
I think
sorry.
So. But this is the, you're leading to me so. One of these big spoilers.
All right.
So let me get to this.
Okay.
Uncle Fester, he burns his letter and he hides his ring
and then he's brought to the beach at night. But that's when we got this huge reveal. This is a big moment, I think, in the entire series, mm-hmm. where it is revealed that Queen Blondie's name is Daenerys,
or something similar.
Because they said it. And they called her Daenerys, which I think is
not
her name.
And again, not something new. If you're watching that, it's
huge
not
to me.
And there was something last night that I did see about the dragon and the dragon's name. Did you catch that yet?
I did not catch anything about a dragon's name. No.
Okay. Because you've already said the name of the dragon was. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember the name. There was a name that came up with the dragon.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay, well, you'll have to watch for it. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay. there is some hidden truth about Jon Snow. We don't know what it is. Something hidden. It's possible he transitioned.
No, I don't think so.
Jon Snow at some point previously in the series?
No.
Okay. Queen Blondie and Jon Snow then make out. Which you'd say, well, if you know, why are you saying the transition thing? But again, we're open here. This is there's always these characters changing these stereotypes.
You're kind of missing the big parts of last night's episode, but go ahead.
Okay, it's a little disturbing because I thought I did well on this one.
Uh-huh.
I thought I really nailed this one actually.
Right.
Okay, so if a city rings its bells, that means Queen Blondie is going to, or Daenerys is going to stop an attack that might happen. Okay. One of them says, next, Queen Blondie says to the angry elf, next time you fail me will be the last time you fail me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty intense part.
Right.
I don't know what their relationship is, but they have some tension there.
Right. Okay.
I've noticed just generally in this region of wherever this is taking place, there's just not a lot of smiling. There's just not a lot of happy times. They don't ever seem to enjoy each other's company.
Well, you're kind of joining the series at the worst part.
Okay.
Although, I will tell you, reflecting on it, I don't recall a lot of smiling ever.
Okay, so that's another big revelation that I think
revelation.
I got right.
Yeah, all right.
Angry Elf tries to tell an Obi-Wan Kenobi character some sort of secret. And I noticed this is just pragmatically.
I don't even know what you're talking about at this point.
Well, he said he was going to tell this Obi-Wan Kenobi guy a secret, but just pragmatically, logistically, it's difficult because he's just so much shorter. How do you tell, if you're 3 feet tall, how do you tell a 6 foot tall person a secret? It's difficult. There's a lot of at least bending involved.
Right.
But he just tries to basically just say it in a crowd, which is not a good not a good idea.
Okay.
The frumpy girl, she's back in this one.
Yeah.
She wants to kill someone named Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I've and then someone known as the stupidest Lannister is in prison.
Hmm.
That's what they called himself, the stupidest Lannister.
Yeah. Okay.
So then Angry Elf gives an emotional speech to stupid Lannister about basically who was the only person, he was the only person around who was nice to him as a kid or something. There's some, like, I don't know, middle school drama going on between the two. then stupid Lannister also has a gold hand, which seems like it would be limiting in battle, but an odd choice. And then there's a castle they show that may be attacked or something. And the doors to break into the castle have an odd gap in between the doors.
Can I tell you something?
Which is really
This is something I noticed too last night.
Really?
I'm like, they close the door and there's like a 3-inch or 4-inch gap. And I'm like, what is that?
You're trying to protect the castle. It's it reminded me of like the, you're in a public bathroom and like the stall has that odd gap. And you're like, why would they design it that way?
Right.
Because anyone can look in, or in this case, break in.
Right.
Which is not a good idea.
Right.
So there's two big armies kind of staring each other down. At this point, I did note that I don't know why it's important or who they are. But there's two armies facing each other.
Okay.
And I will say this, you know, there's a lot, I'm not going to give anything away about the battle or anything. But there's a lot of this stuff going on in the series where a lot of people prepare a lot of big weapons and they're fighting and everything and they're getting all excited. And then a dragon just flies in and the dragon wins, like, it's very powerful. I don't know if anyone's noticed this. Instead of building all of the, like, axes and stuff that they have, they should probably have just worked on dragon recruitment.
Right.
Does ZipRecruiter have a dragon recruitment?
There's no dragons. This is the only one left. And they've killed two of the three.
It just seems like that's unlikely. There's probably other dragons. They just haven't looked hard enough.
Right.
Get on ZipRecruiter.
Okay.
Look for dragons.
So that's what they should have been doing.
Yes, because they...
I was thinking about maybe fire extinguishers or...
Another good option.
You know.
Another good option.
Some sort of asbestos suits.
That would be good.
That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, considering all the stabbing and beheading that goes on, just to die by the dragon's flame may be preferable, I would say.
Maybe.
Just get kind of like get dissolved seemingly in an instant. Uh-huh. The stupid Lannister then got in a fight with the lead singer of Coldplay, who apparently is in the series.
No, it's not. That's not.
That's he didn't have a piano that said "Fair Trade Now" or anything, but it looked like him.
Okay.
And then the stupid Lannister's name. This is another big reveal, I think. The stupid Lannister revealed his name. I believe it's Jim Lannister.
No, it's not Jim. That's not Jim. But it's.
I can't even.
Good for you.
It's difficult to trust you on something like this.
Really?
Yes, because you may be misleading me, and I don't know. How about the next guy? The big, tall guy. Yeah. He's with Frumpy Girl, and then he goes, and he's going to have a fight or something, and his name is, like, Sandor?
No.
Something like that?
No. No.
Well, he goes, and he fights a giant, helmetless Darth Vader in a big battle, and that was a pretty exciting scene.
That was
really good.
Okay, good.
And he keeps stabbing the guy. The guy just seems to pretty much enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I've also noticed that just environmentally, I have some concerns about this. It's very dusty throughout this entire region. I think if there's a follow-up series, it may just focus on the mesothelioma lawyers that can kind of come in and take advantage, because they're breathing all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah.
Bring a face mask.
So do you think that's where it started? Maybe.
It's possible. I do feel like those ads have run enough that they may have started back in this dark age.
Right.
But I would say the two big takeaways are Queen Blondie's name is Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Sandal and a guy named Jim Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
So you got those three big giveaways on Game of Thrones last night.
Thank you very much.
In case you missed it.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Dave Isay, founder and president of StoryCorps, is with us, and he has started a StoryCorps. In case you don't know, you probably don't know if you don't listen to NPR, but StoryCorps is a service that was started by Dave and his crew many, many years ago, and what they do is they just get people's stories. And you go into a booth and you record it. Well, he's starting something different. It's the One Small Step initiative. And when does this actually, when do we start to hear the results on this, Dave?
Hi, Glenn. It's great. It's great to talk to you. We're in full action. We have results coming in all the time. You know,
okay.
As you said, the standard StoryCorps is two people, and we're a nonprofit.
Yeah.
In every possible way, it's two people coming to talk to each other who know and love each other, and with One Small Step, we're putting people across the political divides in a booth to remind us that people we disagree with are actually human beings, and we don't want them dead.
And when you're seeing these people go in, there's a difference. People say horrible things to each other online and on social media, but when you're face to face, it changes. And the second thing that changes is this is being preserved by the Library of Congress, so these voices will last in our national archives forever. And
that's right.
People don't want to be, able to have their grandkids look them up and find their audio of them being a jerk.
That's you nailed it. That's exactly why this thing works. It's kind of the opposite of the impermanence of social media. People are aware that their future generations are going to hear it. And I mean, you know this very well. When you're face to face with someone, you can build up all kinds of things in your head, and social media is just a dumpster fire, what it does to our brains. But when you look at someone in the face and realize that you have families, you love your families, we love this country. There was a survey that I saw since I was on last time. 42% of people in each party view the opposition as downright evil. 20% of Republicans and Democrats agree with the statement that their political adversaries lack the traits to be considered fully human. And these numbers...
Wait, what was that last one?
Yep. 20% of Republicans and Democrats agree with the statement that their political adversaries lack the traits to be considered fully human. 20% think that the country would be better off if large numbers of the opposition died. And these numbers are skyrocketing. And that's what
oh my gosh.
About. Well, this is, you know, this
Dave,
is a very, very serious problem that we're facing.
This is, you know, this goes back to what I've been saying for quite some time now. And that is we have to ask both sides, because both sides are looking to win.
Yep.
So what happens, and we're starting to not understand each other. What happens if your side, I don't care what side it is, your side wins everything and you get everything that you want? You know, 50% of the country is not going to be for that and not want to do that. What's your solution? And if we're starting to look at each other as not human, we're in trouble. We know how this ends.
We do, because we know about Nazi Germany. We know about Rwanda.
Wow.
You know, when people were called cockroaches. I mean, it's there is an extreme danger in dehumanizing other human beings, and we've seen it before. We've seen it in slavery. We've seen it in Nazi Germany. We've seen it before. We cannot let the country go down this path.
Holy cow.
It is, you know, it's an extermination level.
It is
potentially,
and we have the power. And what's coming? We have the power to destroy the entire world now.
We do, but we also have the power to become the, you know, to beat this. And, you know, look, there's nothing that our enemies would love better than to see us at each other's throats, you know, and America collapse. And we have to fight this.
That's the amazing thing. We keep arguing in Congress and we're missing the point when it comes to Russia. Russia, I was on the air 3 years prior saying, here's their plan. They stated it. They were looking to cause dissent between each other and to cause conflict. The only winner in this whole last 2 years when Russia is involved is Russia. They've gotten everything they've wanted and more.
Yep. No, I mean, it's perfectly executed, and we've acted exactly as you know, our enemies, Russia and otherwise, would hope we would. So, you know, it's our choice. And, you know, I hope that people will consider becoming part of One Small Step. I do know we're going to be in Dallas pretty soon. And if
are you coming down for the museum? Do you know?
I don't know.
OK, let us know when you're here.
I definitely will. We're going to be recording One Small Step interviews. And if there are any, I know you have a lot of listeners everywhere, but Dallas is a strong spot for you. Write to One Small One Small Step at StoryCorps.org. And
One Small Step at StoryCorps.org. Okay.
StoryCorps.org. If you're in Dallas, let us know if you want to participate. We'll match you with someone who has a different political ideology than you, and you'll just
talk decently.
And you're just going to talk about your lives. It's not about arguing issues. It's not about politics. It's not about finding common ground. It's just remembering the humanity and people we disagree with.
All right. So what is the story you're going to bring to us today?
So today is just a standard StoryCorps story, and it's great to be able to come on and play a story every month. This is just what happens in the booth. This is not One Small Step. It's the other 500,000 people who've participated who just know and love each other. And this is a dad and a son from Jackson, Mississippi, not too long ago. The family's name is Sykes, and they came to StoryCorps just to talk.
So here's the 9-year-old with his father.
That's right. Do you remember what was going through your head when you first saw me?
I remember when the doctor pulled you out. The first thing I thought was that he was being too rough with you. And he actually held you like a little Sprite bottle. And he was like, here's your baby. That was the most proud moment of my life. Don't tell your brothers, because it's three of y'all. But it was like looking at a blank canvas and just imagining what you want their painting to look like at the end, but also knowing you can't control the paint strokes. You know, the fear was just, I got to bring up a black boy in Mississippi, which is a tough place to bring up kids, period. But there are statistics that say black boys born after the year 2002 have a 1 in 3 chance of going to prison. And all three of my sons were born after the year 2002.
So, Dad, why do you take me to protest so much?
I think I take you for a bunch of reasons. One is that I want you to see what it looks like when people come together. but also that you understand that it's not just about people that are familiar to you, but it's about everybody. Did you know the work that Martin Luther King was doing was for everybody and it wasn't just for black people?
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah. So that's how you got to think. If you decide that you want to be a cab driver, then you got to be the most impactful cab driver that you can possibly be.
Are you proud of me?
Of course. You my man. I just love everything about you, period.
The thing I love about you, you never give up on me. That's one of the things I will always remember by my dad.
You said it like I'm on the way out of here, or like I'm already gone.
So, Dad, what are your dreams for me?
My dream is for you to live out your dreams. It's an old proverb that talks about when children are born, children come out with their fists closed because that's where they keep all their gifts. And as you grow, your hands learn to unfold because you're learning to release your gifts to the world. And so, for the rest of your life, I want to see you live with your hands unfolded.
That is such a remarkable piece of audio. Dave, thank you so much.
And it's great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. And again, if you would like to be involved, just go to One Small Step. Please email onesmallstep@storycorps.org. That's story, C-O-R-P-S, storycorps.org. Thank you so much, Dave.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.